This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Good afternoon, I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. A federal judge in Indiana has ordered the Trump administration to not deport a Chicago man who was acquitted last month of putting a bounty on the head of U.S. Border Patrol Commander Gregory Bovino. U.S. District Judge James Hanlon says it's likely Juan Espinoza Martinez is entitled to a bond hearing that could lead to his release. Espinoza Martinez was acquitted on January 22nd, but was quickly taken into custody by federal immigration authorities. And then attorneys on Monday filed a petition in the Southern District of Indiana challenging his detention. Judge Hanlon told the feds to respond by Friday afternoon. First installment property tax bills will be delayed in Cook County. The county says it hopes to mail out bills in early March. The payment deadline is April 1st. Typically, first installment bills are mailed at the start of February and due on March 1st. The county says the shift follows some delays in last year's second installment bills. Those were sent late after a tech upgrade slowed the billing process. The state of Illinois saw a notable decline in its federal revenue in January compared with the same time a year ago. A recent report from the state legislature's Nonpartisan Research Commission shows federal funding dropped by about 36% year over year. The report says federal funding can be volatile, but it also notes January marked the third consecutive month of federal revenue declines, and this comes as leaders in Springfield are staring down a $2 billion deficit. The state of Illinois is joining a network run by the World Health Organization. It's designed to give public health officials access to information that could help the state respond to outbreaks and other emergencies. And this comes after the U.S. officially withdrew last month from the WHO. UChicago Medicine's Dr. Emily Landon tells our In the Loop program that while joining this network is a great step, it isn't a replacement for national membership.
I also think that there's still a limit as to what we can do if only part of the United States are willing to participate. Because when and if the next pandemic or large scale, you know, high consequence pathogen comes to the United States, it's not just going to be Illinois.
Illinois is the second state to join this network after California. And the Blackhawks are playing their final game tonight before the three-week-long break for the Winter Olympics. The Blackhawks' only representative at the games is forward Teuvo Teravainen. He'll be playing for Finland, though. Head coach Jeff Blashill says this will give the team an advantage for the final stretch of the season.
When we come back, we also get a mini training camp. And to me, that's a real powerful thing for a group of young players, and especially because of the fact that we don't have a whole bunch of guys that aren't going to be here that would have been at the Olympics. You know, we're only missing one. So we can really have some real good practices there in that stretch to get us ready for the home stretch here.
The Blackhawks are skating in Columbus tonight. You're listening to The Rundown. It's been 4 months since Marimar Martinez was shot by a Border Patrol agent on Chicago's southwest side. She survived, but two other U.S. citizens in Minnesota who were recently involved in similar shooting incidents did not. And now Martinez is speaking up. Yesterday, she testified before Congress. She said she wants to end the unjustified use of force during immigration enforcement. She also wants to clear her name after federal officials branded her a domestic terrorist. My colleague, Adriana Cardona-McGeegan, brings us the story.
When you first meet Marimar Martinez, she looks tough, but her warm personality quickly shows. It's easy to imagine her working with little kids. She's a teacher's assistant at a Montessori school, and she's proud of a tattoo of the Chicago flag that she has on her arm.
Because I was raised and born in Chicago, and I love my city.
But there's also something else near her tattoo, a bullet wound, which she got 4 months ago. It all started back in October on a day she was dropping off donations at a church on the southwest side.
It's a lot of Hispanic people right there. I have families, I have friends around the area.
On her way there, she spotted federal agents in an SUV. She felt compelled to alert people. She grew up in a mostly immigrant community nearby and has a huge Mexican immigrant family. And some relatives have been impacted by the immigration blitz in Chicago, even her uncle. So she was triggered when she spotted the agents. She started following, recording them on her phone and screaming.
And I was just like, just started honking, and like people were outside. I started honking, they seen, and then they started, like, some of the people went inside. So it was just like, it was powerful.
She says she believes she saved some landscapers from getting arrested that morning. Martinez felt empowered, but at some point she was ready to move on with her day. When she got to 39th and Ketsey, she says things turned dangerous. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security initially accused her of ramming into the federal agent's SUV. But she says that's not true.
Right when I got next to them, right, that's when they started swerving at me. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's when, like, it clicked. I'm like, damn, they really want to cause some damage or, okay, they're not playing.
Then she says she felt an impact.
But I know that I never came into his lane. I never even, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm up. Swiped you. No, I was like literally like a month away from paying off my truck. So it'll be dumb of me. And I worked so hard for it.
The agents stopped their car in front of hers. Martinez says she was worried about what would happen next and hit the gas. She says she moved as far left as she could while driving around them, not toward them. But as she passed the agents, she saw them getting out of their car with guns.
They just, like, draw them. And then that's when I got close to the steering wheel, and I just, like, shrugged. And I just heard the shots, like, da, da, da.
One of the agents fired 5 shots. Her lawyer argues that at least 1 bullet came from behind. At first, she thought they were pepper balls. But then she looked at her right hand.
And I just, like, touched my side, and my hand was full of blood, and I just looked down, and my hand was, like, gushing.
She lost movement in her hand. She couldn't bend her fingers or even use her phone to dial 911.
My phone was soaked in blood. Like, all my clothes were soaked in blood. So I told Siri, I'm like, hey, you know, call 911.
She pulled into a nearby repair shop to get help, and paramedics arrived. Martinez would later learn there were 7 bullet holes across her body.
I wasn't scared. I don't know how to explain it, but I wasn't in pain, nothing. I was just like, damn, like, this is it. Like, I'm done. Like, so I just put my head on the wall. That's it. Like, I just closed my eyes.
Martinez was taken to a hospital under guard. She knows it could have turned out differently.
I get emotional. Just thinking back, like, damn, like, I could have really died.
She could have died. Just like Silverio Villegas Gonzalez, the man who was shot just weeks before by an agent in the western suburbs, or Rene Good and Alex Preti in Minneapolis, she says. Martinez was arrested and spent a night in jail. The feds accused her of being a domestic terrorist and then charged her with assaulting, resisting, and impeding federal officers. The government also says she had a gun that day. Martinez says, yes, she had a gun, but it was put away. And she has a concealed carry license.
Yeah, I have a permit, you know. It's always been in the bottom of my purse. There's pictures of, like, my makeup was on top of it and, like, all that gross stuff, yeah.
After more than a month, prosecutors dropped all charges. Text messages came out showing the federal agent who shot her allegedly bragged about the 5 shots and the 7 holes he put on her body.
That's not gonna break me. Look, I'm a survivor of your shots.
Federal officials say they stand by their statements and accounts of that day, including labeling her a domestic terrorist. A judge has criticized them for not changing the narrative, and she's considering whether to release sealed evidence from her case, including body cam video. Martinez wants the public to see it so she can rid herself from that terrorist label. Throughout, she's tried to be strong, but she breaks down when she thinks about the toll on her parents. In her darkest moments, she says, speaking with her dad was a relief.
It was just like, mija, you got it. And just by listening to his voice and, like, he telling me, like, be strong and that I had it, like, gave me the courage, like, I know everything's gonna be okay. Don't make me cry. My makeup, no.
Eventually, she says her parents scolded her.
They didn't throw no chancla, no, but they did give me like a lecture, like, I know you have a good heart. I know you want to do something for your community, but look at what happened. Like, you could do so much.
But she has no regrets. Martinez says she was defending her people, something she won't stop doing until there is real change.
Look, I'm a testimony. I am here for a reason, right? I survived getting shot 5 times, 7 holes in my body. I don't want nobody passing through this. I don't want nobody. Like, there should be a change, right? And I want to use my voice.
And tell her side of the story, she says, because others no longer can. Adriana Cardona Magigad, WBEC News.
Chicago Sun-Times reporter John Seidel contributed reporting to this story. Weather, a cloudy day and a high in the mid-20s, and then tonight cloudy and cold, a low in the mid-teens. Thursday, warming up a little bit, cloudy and breezy, maybe some flurries, a high in the low 30s, and it could be the first time in nearly 3 weeks we might break that freezing point. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.